Okay. I'm just refamiliarizing myself with the process here. Bear with me for one moment, please.
So, I mean, typical IPR notes, any introductions from new people on the call, then running the default agenda of pull requests and then issues, depending on the repo.
Thank you, Ori. I was actually just looking for my cue to read the IPR notes, and I could not find it. If you have,
I can do it from memory.
Thank you.
This is a W3C CCG call. We're going to discuss work items. Any substantive contribution to the items discussed, you must be a member of the W3C and have signed the IPR agreements. Today's call, we're going to focus on trace vocab and links to all of the IPR notes, and then everything else is at the top of the repository.
Excellent. Thank you, Ori. So with that, let's go to trace vocab and begin with pull requests. I'm going to sort these by oldest. The link will be posted in the chat. And we have three pull requests today for trace vocab. The first one is PR number 696, and this is a PR from Russell. I don't see him on the call today, but according to his logs, this adds an agricultural inspection generic and updates some types, and there has been some discussion in here. It looks like, Mahmoud, you had some requested changes that were addressed. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah. So there was a, let me try and remember this. The requested changes that I had were around updating the examples and making, I think this is that one, right? Yeah, and then pointing to the UNC fact with observation versus having our own built-in observations. I think it was all resolved, and the idea is that if there would be a change, it would be out of scope for SPR, and I agreed with that. So I think that was resolved as well.
Excellent. So it looks like we have three approvals. Change requests have been resolved. So if there are no objections, I'll go ahead and merge this one in. Merging now. Okay. Next PR is PR number 698. This is another one from Russell.
I have change requests on this still. I just reviewed it. It still has the same issues in it. The part of it that is removing fields from the common organization schema, I'm fine with removing those fields from the common organization schema. The issue is that it has this external identifiers addition, which I feel like is maybe not in line with RDF best practices. So there's two new terms that are being defined. One is an external identifiers predicate. The other is an external identifiers RDF type. I don't believe this group should be defining either of those. We should be using schema.org or something else.
Okay. I'll make a note there, and I think we should keep this one open. Russell, we're currently working on PR 698 that has some open change requests.
Yeah, I'm looking at that.
Is everyone else okay with the removing of the fields from the core common organization schema? that change seems good, but you know, maybe it's controversial. I just want to draw attention to it.
Sounds like nobody objects. Ori, given that that bit of the PR seems to be okay, what would you recommend for proceeding here?
Well, I mean, first you can always split the uncontroversial from the controversial stuff and then merge the uncontroversial pieces. I think for the external identifiers piece, I think I understand the intention there. I'd just like to see a reference to something from schema.org used for it. So maybe just searching around schema.org and looking at the JSON-LD snippets that they provide for examples, that we can find a path forward on that item.
Okay, Russell, does that sound like a good plan of action for you?
Yeah, so schema.org does have the identifier, I don't think it has anything that refers to, I'm still kind of orienting. I jumped on this. It wasn't on my calendar. But, the issue that I was running up against is I couldn't find anything on schema.org that represented an object that has all the fields that we need. I'm not sure how to do an array of just single identifier values, if it makes sense.
So I think, first of all, there's the whole object array polymorphism in RDF. It sounds like you might want to read up a bit on that. But, you know, like if you look at the example that I share here, see how it's an identifier as an object of type property value?
Do you mean the last comment on, yeah.
This sure. is in chat, Russell.
In chat.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay.
So see how identifier is the key and the value side is an object. You can make the value side an array. And because of the way RDF and JSON-LD process it, that'll all work just fine. And then the type is property value, which, you know, we don't need to define an RDF type if this will work. It has a property ID and a value, which seem to be the two fields that you're defining. So I think just like if this works, it would be better to use this than it would be to invent a new way of describing identifiers.
Okay. One thing is it doesn't just have property ID and value. I think it also has URL. So it isn't sufficient to just use property value. Does that change anything?
The examples that you've shown me don't have URL, so I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Oh.
Like in your pull request, you only have name value pairs.
Okay. Did I not add a schema external ID? Yeah, external identifier has name value and URI. And I was replacing all of the individual identifiers with an array of external identifier, which has these three. It isn't just a name value pair. It also has URI, which I think is a crucial part.
Can you look at the property value RDF type and see if there are fields within that type that would meet your use case?
Sure.
So I think that's probably a good point to take that offline and carry on working on that PR outside of the call if you guys are okay with that.
Yep.
Perfect.
And sorry, you're questioning whether there's whether there are properties or objects other than property value that have that field URI or something that would work for that?
I'm objecting to your attempt to add a new identifier scheme to our work. I'm requesting you use the existing identifier schemes in schema.org and the conventions from JSON-LD and RDF.
Okay. Sure. I'll look into that.
Great. Thanks for that, guys. Okay, the last PR is PR 703. Paste it in the chat. This one is from Benjamin. Ben, you want to talk about this one?
Sure. So this is adding credential schema to verifiable business card as just a proof of concept. So this is a very strictly defined, very narrowly defined schema that I wanted to do all in one page so that along with schema validation, so it makes it very easy to just say, hey, is this a valid schema, yes or no, grab the entire page, and then check it against that. So it's checking two things. And then the one thing is, I think Ted brought up a good point of proof purchase. So once I grab that and find the link for where it is, I'll update this and then merge offline if that's okay.
I have no objections to that. Would anyone else object to that happening offline?
Nope.
Okay. Make a note. Okay. And that concludes the PRs for Trace Vocab. For Trace Interop, we have only a single PR, and it's still in draft mode, opened by Mike. This is PR number 491 and has to do with benchmarks. It looks like there's a bunch of comments from you, Ori, a lot of stuff from Ted. I'm not sure if it's worth going through this, given that it's still draft. Ori, do you have any insight into that?
It's draft. I haven't reviewed it. I'll review it when it moves out of draft.
Okay. Then let's leave this one alone and return to Trace Vocab for issue discussion. Okay. The sorted link is in the chat. And the first issue on the list, if I sorted this correctly, is issue number 577. This is something that was opened by Vladimir. Titled Declare Enumerations. Can anyone speak to this issue? I'm not familiar with it. Okay, that sounds like no. Has anyone spoken to Vladimir about seeing if he has any interest in joining these calls? I know he opens a number of issues and sometimes PRs.
No. I think what we should do is leave a note on the issue saying this issue was discussed on the call. It wasn't clear what the action item was. And then we'll just process it. He'll get a ping. He'll see that. And then if he wants to attend calls, he's welcome to. He has attended calls in the past, but I think he's busy with many other things.
Okay. I've added a note, and we'll likely do so on the next ones. Let's take those in order though. So the next one is 271. This one is also by Vladimir. And it looks like it was originally marked as something that's stale that we should close. There was a lot of discussion on whether we should reopen it or you were against, and it seems to have been reopened.
It seems like the last comment is from Vlad asking for someone else to do the work on the issue that's been reopened. So I think folks should review what he's asking and indicate whether you intend to do that work for him.
Okay, I've left a comment. So the next issue is 578. This one is from Vladimir as well. It appears to be about requesting perhaps some clarification in the place YAML regarding UNLO code and IATA airport code. Does anyone have familiarity here on this issue? If not, I'll add a note that we discussed. And we can move on. The next issue is 270. This one is also from Vlad. About wrong linked data mapping. Ori, it looks like at some point you are participating in this conversation. Ted as well. This is a long one. Ted, you were the last commenter. Do you want to comment on the status of this?
I'm sorry, local distraction. What are we looking at right now?
This is issue 270 in Trace Vocab. And it's a long one from Vladimir, and I'm only calling you out because you were the last commenter.
Lucky me. Dates from last September. Okay. Yeah, I have no idea.
I do. I read it. Basically, originally the issue is like there are so many places where we're using at ID or at type incorrectly, and this shows up in the dollar link data property in the annotations, and you can see that it's generating a lot of discussion. But the problem is that you can't really fix this in the abstract in the way the issue exists, because it's sort of like there's problems in all of the files that we have. So it would be better to file like one issue at a time for if this at ID or this at type property in this file is wrong, let's fix it in that file. Let's not leave an issue open that says there's problems in all files. Like it's never going to get closed. No one's going to pick it up either, because it's like, you know, fix all the things. No one's going to volunteer to do that work. So I suggest we leave a note saying, you know, hey, like when we encounter a problem in a specific file, let's file an issue that's just about that one problem. That's the kind of thing that someone will easily be able to pick up and fix.
Ori, I think that is a great idea. Does anyone object to leaving a pending close label on this with Ori's comment?
Well, it seems viable, but doing it that way means that we're going to have however many lingering files with issues. It seems like there ought to be a way to make a list of what are all the files, turn that into the checkboxes, and so have a tracking issue, which then gets used to create a new issue for each of the files. There's no way around busy work, but
you could do that now. You just have to read all the files and file an issue for each problem you encounter, which is essentially what this issue is telling us we're supposed to do.
Is there any way to automate that, Ori, or is this more of a manual process?
No, because the problem is that the syntax is correct in the file, so it's not like you can catch it automatically with linting. It's just like there's logical errors. Like, for example, you have a predicate, but you're using an RDF date type instead of the predicate property for the date, you know? So it's like most of the confusion that I've seen comes from not understanding when to use an IRI for an RDF predicate versus when to use an IRI for an RDF type, or wanting to do at type, you know, colon at ID on properties, or doing that in places where you shouldn't. It has to do with understanding of the JSON-LD RDF mapping behavior, and it's like they're logical errors, but they can't be caught with automation. I mean, maybe an AI would be able to refactor them at some point, but I think that's probably beyond the scope of reasonable solutions at this point.
Okay. So is there some action that we can, take here aside from closing this and recommending they open individually? Because, you know, if we just close this, I would want this.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the same thing. It's either we need a lot of small issues or one issue with very concrete changes, but we don't need like, hey guys, this is bad. We need like, okay, this date should be this value. Like Vlad should be effectively doing the work in the issue. And then all we have to do is like go to the file, make the small change, issue the pull request and change it. Like we don't want something abstract. We want concrete suggestions.
Yeah. Totally agree. My concern is that if we simply close this, though, then this may get lost.
I mean, I'm okay with that in a sense of, what you just posted in the chat is, like, they should be actionable or closed. If this is not actionable, it's current state, like, fix all the things is not, you know, something that we can...
But it's not fix all the things. It's types have been used where properties should, and vice versa. That is a concrete issue. Yes, yeah. It requires a lot of manual work to resolve, but it is an actionable concrete issue. It's big, but it's still an actionable concrete issue. I would not close it unless something very much like it is then opened. And I don't see the point of doing that when basically all the information is here. Yes, it takes a little while to digest it, but it's a drop in the bucket compared to the work that's going to be necessary. And it is necessary if we actually care about these files. And if we don't care about these files, then we should just drop them. I don't think that's going to happen.
So there's, the way I see it, there's two paths forward, right? One path is we close the issue. And as Ted said, we acknowledge these files are not important to us. A second path is we create a task whose purpose is to identify the individual type confusions. That task could be split by market segment, could be split by whatever. We already have that segmentation in the repo itself, right? And that could just be like four separate issues. Each person gets assigned to it. That way we can split up the work that way. And to be honest, these are two ways that I can see it. Because I really don't think no one is going to pick up, I will do all the things, right? Like this is way too big for one person. If we split it into four, that might be a much more reasonable solution or, you know, more than that. But that's a very concrete path to actually getting it done. Otherwise, I agree. We should acknowledge we're not going to do this either way.
Okay. I'm kind of leaning towards your first option that we split this into something that is actually actionable by someone. And I think that in that case, the next step is for someone to perform that splitting and not necessarily perform all the legwork to find the issues. So I propose that I add a comment that suggests we need more discrete concrete action items and that someone needs to split this into smaller smaller workloads. Does that sound acceptable to everyone?
I'm gonna say the quiet part of that is I think even potentially splitting up the work is a decent amount of work in its own right.
I don't necessarily disagree, but you know, we have a ticket that suggests there's a large number of things that need to be done, and simply dropping it probably isn't the right way to go. Like,
we could dedicate a call to resolving this one item, and the next call we have, we can go through every file and file a separate issue for every occurrence we encounter. Would that work?
I think that would be too much. I think what the easiest way is we separate by the segments we already have, then in the next call where this topic we can talk about, people would have already done some pre-work and they would just do hey, I think these are the ones that need to be changed. Rather than having all of us be on the same call looking at the same file at the same time, it would allow us to be, you know, more, to parallelize the work a little bit more. Is that, I don't know if that made sense the way I said it, but yeah.
I think I agree in principle, Mahmoud, as long as people take up the action items.
Yep.
So we don't take up too much more time on this call discussing. I'm going to leave a comment to that effect that is the next step that needs to happen here. And I think we can move on. Unless there are objections. So the next issue in the list is 571. Ori, see your note. Thank you for joining. So issue 571 is another one from Vladimir, and it regards the conflation of identifier. It's suggesting we use the class traceability identifier. Is anyone familiar with this item? Ted, it looks like you commented, and Mahmoud, you referenced.
I'm just checking if this was already solved. Sorry.
No worries.
My comment was just about his presentation, which I think he resolved, so I will hide that comment.
So I explicitly called out that PR does not actually resolve 571. I think 571 is basically saying you have multiple things that are identifiers within a specific, entity, and they're all pointing to schema.org/identifier. And they probably shouldn't be. I'm trying to see what a solution would be. I honestly don't remember. This has been it's been a while. Does anyone else remember what the solution to multiple identifiers would be?
I do not.
Okay. I think this is going to take a little bit of time. Let me go through and we can circle back to it.
Okay. Okay, the next issue is 575. This one was also opened by Vladimir and has to do with conflating value. It appears to be similar in its several schemas map different terms to schema value.
I think this is more of the type in confusion. I think what this is saying is that the range of these properties is value.
Got it. So what would be a good next step on this issue?
Writing the YAML correctly, and I don't know it well enough to correct it.
Okay. I'm going to leave a note that we discussed. And that this needs some concrete next steps in order to proceed.
No, I think it's the fact that we're using the same add ID here. So value per item is using schema.or/value. Total order value is also using value. So when you do this as RDF representation, they're both going to be the same thing. So I think Vlad is saying that we would want a different term to distinguish these two things.
But the different term is what the start of the stanza, right? Value per item is the term.
Yeah. I think what happens in RDF when we convert from JSON-LD to, when we convert from JSON-LD to RDF, it's not going to carry that over. It's going to do a lookup. And so what you're going to get is in the chat, value 500, value 1500. I don't think that the, I don't think that the original, like, value per item, total order value will get carried into the RDF representation. If that.
I understand what you're saying. And okay. You're probably right, and that's because the YAML is incorrect. And
it's not necessarily the YAML syntax. It's that we're using the same under the part where it says $linkData and then add ID. It's that we're using the same term for both of these.
Yeah.
So it's YAML in that it's syntax, but the syntax is okay. It's the term we're using to define these two. I'm not gonna harp on this. I think what we can do is ask Vlad for a specific suggestion of what he wants the add ID value to be.
There you go.
I'll make a comment on the
I'm halfway through it, Ben.
Okay.
Okay. So the next issue is issue 586. Ben, this one is from you. Would you care to bring us up to speed? Looks like you got some merged commits here. This may be done.
Sorry, I'm going to go fish face for a second. Let's see. Make sure schema error throws errors in the jest for CLI. I think this is done. Yeah, I think, okay, it is done. Okay, this is when we were doing schema checks, and schema we could throw anything to the YAML, even if it was wrong, it would still pass CI, and I think that's failing for incorrect schemas now, so I think we can close this issue.
Got it. I will close this with a comment. Okay, the next issue is from UTED. It's issue number 152.
Yeah, when to use Pravo. Always. I don't think it's an actionable thing.
Yeah, it looks like we added pending close in October. I think at this point, if no one objects, we can probably close.
Yeah, let me get it.
All right, thank you, Ted. Okay, the next issue is 153. This is another one from you, Ted.
I think this is like the other. I think, yeah. Nothing has been done.
Okay. Next issue is one of mine, 587. Definitely have not done any work on this one. Are we even still using Lerna?
I think there might be some remnants of it in the code. We got rid of it in the places where we're using it for check and CI, but I think there still might be, or we could do a find and see if it's still there.
Yeah, I do see the lint and test are still being run.
Also, just Lerna. A reminder, did you post the issue in chat?
Oh, I apologize, I did not. It is 587.
So I think we still have a Lerna.json in the core repository. We probably still have Lerna commands lurking in package.json.
We do. So I'll leave a comment on that to that effect, and we can probably leave this one alone till someone has the cycles to investigate. Okay, next one is 185. And 185 is from Ori. Ask JSON LD and JSON schema workgroup teams for help making JSON LD schema. Ori has opened this and also suggested we close it. We added pending close back in October. Unless anyone objects, I'm happy to close this issue. Okay, closing now. Next one is from Tall Ted. This is issue number 160.
And that's associated with the other two.
And we added a pending close on this one as well.
Yeah, good enough.
Next issue is 416. This one is Ness. This looks like naming related with the certificate postfix. And we had a PR that appears to have done some of this. I'm unclear whether...
I think this one is done. We had certificate at the end, and I think that confused a lot of business users, and so we changed that to credential as a postfix. And so I think that this is effectively can be marked as closed.
Okay, I'll close. Okay, next issue is 464. Ben, this one was from you. It looks like it references us having done something similar in Trace Interop, which I believe we did.
Okay, I think update instructions for publishing minutes. I think we have instructions. I don't know if there's like a nuance that I recorded here.
I think that this was to add the instructions to the Trace vocab repo. Exists in Trace Interop, I know.
Yeah, let's see. But there is published the minutes documentation. So I think that this might have been closed with, or this might have been done without linking the issue.
That's certainly possible.
Issue. I suggest marking as closed.
Okay. Unless anyone objects, I'm okay with marking this as closed. We do have... So, Ben, you linked to the Trace Interop repo.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's linked. It's linked from the, I got there by following the README on the top of Trace vocab.
Got it. Okay. I get you now. In that case, I think I agree. We can close this. So closing. Okay, the next issue is 379. This, as I recall, was somewhat contentious. I think, Ori, you and Ted were going back and forth quite a bit on this. And I don't think we reached a resolution.
Let's see, I think the last I remember this is basically we should design a limitation for the size of what's being signed. 16 megabytes sounds reasonable for a document, but it kind of depends on how far we want to go.
I don't think that we should define a maximum size. Sure, we can recommend that people keep their things as small as necessary. As small as possible and only as large as necessary. But
okay,
how do we know what the max size is going to be necessary?
Yeah, I think that's kind of true. Sorry, is it okay if I jump into you?
Yeah, please go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, as far as kind of, we're kind of doing business verifiable credentials, which, you know, you would expect a build lading or JSON to only go as high as 16 megabytes. If we had something, if we had something else, like if you're signing up like a movie file or something, you know, that could easily go, you know, like way beyond any of these, if we had that type in there. So I think I agree with Ted's suggestion of we might have a max recommended size.
Yeah, I think I agree with Ted as well. And I also want to point out that one of Ori's main concerns here was RDF canonicalization on a 16 terabyte document, as he mentioned. And it sounds like we are trying to move away from that by, signing JSON. I know there's been some discussion in that area, so this may be a somewhat moot point.
That's another true point. If this wasn't concerned about canonicalization for large linked data proofs, I agree. So, do we want to?
I think we should.
But I guess we can, leave a note, and since Ori's not on the call, or I think Ori and Mike would probably want to be on the call, and we can bring it up with them next time they're on.
Yeah, let me leave a quick note. Okay, so I added a note there. Next issue is from Ben, issue 593. And this is date string should be switched to date time.
Okay, copy link. I mean, look at it. I have a few more words. I think this would be a find and replace for this. And then Ted's suggestion is around date time of last, okay, timestamp of last verification. I think we would say date time of last validation. But I agree that we would need to include that as well.
So you're confirming that it is in fact, it includes a time contingent portion?
Yeah, I think type string, let's see, let me look at this and completely abandon scribe duties for a second. For our schema specifically, I'm assuming this is for issue data and stuff like that, and that would be a date time, not just a date, and right now we're using string as the type for the schema validation. So we want to have, instead of string, which is abstract, we want to have a specific date time. And then if we define time, we'd also want to update the description as well.
Okay. So I'll add a note to that effect. Okay, and I think we have time for one more. The next one is 594. And this is from Nis. He is talking about metallurgy test vocab. Suggesting a switch to a different vocab. If anyone can comment on this, that would be welcome. I am not familiar with this issue.
Yeah, I get nothing. Nis may be the only expert.
Okay. I'll ping Nis. And that is about time for us. Unless anyone is dying to do so, I am happy to publish the minutes for this call.
Sounds good. Just make sure that you let us know ahead of time if you're not going to be on, because I think you've gotten to the point of being, dependent
for that. Yeah, and in a pinch, I can always do it the next day if I'm not there.
Okay.
Well, thanks everybody, and we'll see you all next week for Trace Interop.
Ciao.
Yeah. See ya.